You're listening to the Blissful Bites Podcast, episode 139.
Welcome to Blissful Bites, a food entrepreneur podcast. Each week, we bring you a successful woman, inspiring message, or business tip to help you build a sustainable business you're proud of. Now, your host, Nicole Culver.
Everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Blissful Bites podcast. I am so excited to bring you this interview today with Leah from Leah's Plate. She has become a blogging friend over the past year, and I've really enjoyed getting to know her and connecting with her and really watching her Instagram account and her business and her blog grow, especially as she juggles as a work-at-home, stay-at-home mom of a really sweet little girl. Leah is sharing her experience about growing her blog and her Instagram account and also gives some great insight into why she decided to sign up for the Food Entrepreneur Summit and how it has benefited her, not only during the summit, but has continued to benefit her over the past year since the summit actually went live. So I'm really excited to share this interview with you today. And don't forget, we are in the midst of the summit registration. So I hope you join us at this time today, the 19th of December. It is the last day for early bird registration, but I will tell you, no matter when you sign up, I promise you that the value of this summit is at least 10 times the amount you are paying for it. So come join us at the time of registration. We have over 80 people signed up. I am so excited because, you know, I put a lot of value into community building and relationships and just the importance of being able to get in one room or one virtual room with people you look up to, experts and teachers and other people in the same situation as you. So don't miss out on this. Come join us. Come in, invest in you, yourself, and your business, because I believe in you and I know that this is a great business decision for you. So join us at NicoleCulverBlog.com/summit. I cannot wait to see you there. And let's get right into the interview with Leah. Leah started her blog, Leah's Plate, in February 2015. Real food is a passion of hers, and she loves to share it with others. Leah lives in South Florida with her husband and daughter. Hey, Leah.
Hi, Nicole. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for being here today.
Of course. My pleasure.
So tell everyone a little bit about you and what you do.
So I am a full-time stay-at-home mom. My daughter is almost a year old, and I got into the food blogging world, as you just said, in February of 2015. When I started it, it was very much of a side thing for me, for about the first 6 months. I would post whenever I felt like it. Like sometimes it was three times a week, and then 3 weeks would go by without a post. So I'd say about 6 months later was when I really started taking it seriously and decided I wanted to make it my full-time career. It's just something that I love.
So how did you actually like get the idea to start a blog? And I know you have a big Instagram presence too. So what came first?
Okay, so I actually started them around the same time. I had always been really intrigued by Instagram, and I always would scroll through my feed every single day. Like, I got upset if I missed a post. Like, if there was a day that I was busy and didn't get to scroll through my feed, it actually made me upset. I just genuinely loved seeing what food people were making, and it was such an inspiration. I was trying to, you know, live healthy and get ideas, and I would constantly be screenshotting like, oh my god, that oatmeal looks so good, I need to make that, or I need to make that smoothie. And it just really intrigued me, so I started my Instagram probably the same month that I started the blog, and I just used the Instagram really as a place to just kind of document my daily eats, like whatever I have for breakfast, lunch, and dinner usually I put on there. And then, you know, whenever there's a new blog post, I put that on my Instagram as well.
And where do you actually find inspiration? Have you always been into healthy food, or is it something that kind of just transformed?
Into it for years, but I'd say in college I was, and maybe even a few years after college, I was not very healthy. I was drinking a lot, like eating pizza at 4 in the morning, just, you know, and I was not feeling good about myself. I gained some weight and I just was sluggish and lazy and I just didn't like the way I felt. And I just wanted to make a life change. And in addition to eating healthy, I like restarted my life. I moved from New York to South Florida. I just wasn't happy in New York. And with that move, I just said, you know, I'm just going to start life over. And, you know, I finally had a nice kitchen because in New York it was like non-existent. And I just started cooking healthy and I would really go to other blogs and Instagram for inspiration. And so that probably started like 5, 6 years ago, I would say. And since then I've just developed such a passion for wellness beyond even food, just everything, yoga, you know, kickboxing, even my beauty products are organic. Just everything I do is just, I'm all about wellness.
How do you think, or what do you think, I should say, was the best thing that you ever did to grow your blog and your Instagram accounts? I'm sure you get a lot of questions, especially around Instagram.
Yeah. Well, I'd have to say the food summit last year really helped answer a lot of questions. Like the blog, I just didn't know really what to do. I didn't even know who to go to ask questions that I had. Like if I had questions about, you know, how do I promote this blog post on Pinterest? I didn't even know who to ask. So I'd say it started with the food summit, really just seeing, okay, this is who I go to about Pinterest questions for my blog. This is who I go to about specific blog design questions. I just was connected to a lot of people through the summit. And I actually reached out to those people. I made consultations with them. And I was like, I want to really become a professional at what I'm doing and know exactly how to manage every part of this business, from the blog to Pinterest to social media. I'd say Instagram, Rachel Mansfield was a big inspiration. I listened to her story during the food summit and just, you know, hearing her advice. I really listened to that and did what she said. And since then, I've really seen it grow a lot. I think it's just with Instagram being consistent and, you know, I consistently post 2 to 3 times a day. So if you can't do that, it's fine. If it's once a day, just be consistent with whatever it is, I feel like is the biggest thing. I also think interacting and engaging with the community is huge. I try to comment on other people's photos that I genuinely like with genuine comments. And I try to respond to the comments on mine. It's not always easy to, but when I have time, I really do try to respond to people.
I love that you brought up the community and the relationship. And I definitely want to go back to Instagram, but I just want to highlight the food summit because I love that you brought that up. The food summit in 2016 and then the one that is approaching in January 2017, that was my whole goal, to really build a community and develop relationships and show you and bloggers and the speakers that we should come together and rely on each other, because it is a lonely place and it can be confusing to say like, hey, where do I go to find out more information, or who do I go to find out more information about Pinterest or Instagram?
Yeah, exactly. So it just really, I think the biggest thing was just gaining those connections. And also there was the Facebook group and everyone would be talking and asking questions in it. And I found a lot of the questions that I had, other people had already asked first. Like I didn't even have to ask them. Not that I was shy about asking them, but I'd log in and I'd see like, oh, someone already asked that. And I just really use that as a resource, and I log in every night and just go through the Facebook group and the questions, and I met a lot of people through there.
I love that. So now going back to Instagram, because Instagram has changed recently mm-hmm. with algorithms and changing the way the feed looks, have you found that it's affected you? Or if you haven't, has there been anything that you've done to really stay kind of relevant and engaged in people's feed?
Yeah, definitely. I did a lot of trial and error. Like I was just as upset about the change as everyone else. And I spent a few days just being upset about it. And then I said, okay, instead of being upset about it, I need to figure out what to do because there's nothing I can do about it. It's out of my control. So for the next week, I did a lot of trial and error. Like I used to always post my breakfast at 9 a.m. So I said, okay, my engagement's not where it used to be before this change. So let me try posting at 9:30 or 8. And I would just try different times. And then at the end of the day, I would see my likes and comments and see, you know, where I was getting, at what time I was getting the most. I find no matter what time in the morning I post, I'm just, for some reason, my afternoon posts always get more engagement. I don't know. I guess more people are just on, but it's always higher. And it's funny because I always like my breakfast posts the best. And those get less than my lunch and dinner posts. And those are my personal favorites. I think it's just figuring out what time you get the most engagement. And then especially if I have a blog post I want to share, I'm sure to share it at that time of my highest engagement because I really want to get, you know, the traffic back to my blog. And when I look at my Google Analytics, most of my blog traffic actually comes from Instagram, which I know isn't common for most people. It's usually through Pinterest or, you know, other things. But for me, it's, you know, a lot of it is from Instagram.
That's really cool. And I love how you are tracking. So is there, do you have a method behind it where you have like a spreadsheet, or is it just very kind of laid back where you're just very casually looking?
No, very laid back, casually looking. Just, you know, I'll say, okay, and I'm still sometimes playing with it. Like I usually post my breakfast at 9 a.m. and I'm just not getting the engagement that I am later in the day. So I said, what if I post at 8 a.m. when not as many people are posting, and then maybe I have a better chance of showing up in the feed if it's not cluttered with everyone else's posts at the same time. So this morning I just did 8 a.m. and, you know, I'm going to check in a few hours to see if I got more or less. If it's more, I'm like, okay, let me do some more 8 a.m.s. If it's less, I just won't do that again. So it's very laid back, my approach to it.
I'm actually a little surprised about the afternoon post, because I would think that more people would be on, like waking up, getting ready for the day, checking their phone. So I love that you figured that out and that works for
and
you.
And it might just be me personally. Like I just know that all my posts around 12:30, 1 o'clock, most of the time get more likes and comments than the one in the morning. And I still don't know why I like my morning post better, but for some reason that time is just in the afternoon is just better for me.
How important do you think is it to have a unique look to your pictures? Because I know for you, you always have kind of your marble, not always, but 80% or 90% of your pictures have kind of a signature look to it. I know when I'm looking, okay, that's Leah's picture. How important do you think it is to figure that out? And how long did it take for you to figure that out?
It took me a while, and I played with different backgrounds for a while. So I think you should play with different backgrounds and backdrops and see what you like best and, you know, what other people like best too. Like it's, when I started it, I think it was wood, and then it went to white, and then for the past, I'd say almost year, probably it's been marble. And it's funny, people think it's my kitchen countertop. I actually have really ugly kitchen countertops. I just found like a marble cheese board. It was really big at Crate and Barrel. I think they still sell it online. It was like $50, and I just bought it, and I liked how it looked, and I just went with that. And I think it is important to be consistent with your theme. It's nice when I'm scrolling through my feed and I say, oh, I know that so-and-so without even seeing the name. I think that's very important, is having that consistency.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder, do you know what your most popular picture, your most like liked and engaged picture is? Just curious.
Yes. It was one of my toast pictures, and it got over 10,000, I think it got like 12,000 likes. And it's funny because it wasn't my personal favorite. Like sometimes I have something and I'm like, this is amazing. It's going to do so well. And then it'll get like 1,000 likes, and then I'll post something that I like, but it's not my favorite, like that picture. And it got like 12,000 likes. So it's just funny. There's no real rhyme or reason to why people like things.
Yeah. Yeah. So if someone's listening and they have a smaller Instagram following and they're listening to this and you have almost 50,000, which congrats, that's huge. You're almost at that milestone, and maybe you will be by the time, or you should be by the time this goes live. So people who are feeling a little overwhelmed, like, I don't know if I should invest the time in Instagram. Do you have any tips for them just to get started moving in the right direction and really show or just make a difference in their Instagram account?
Yeah, definitely a few things. Like I said, definitely being consistent, whether that's one time a day. I mean, I recommend definitely doing at least one time a day. I also don't want to overwhelm people. I think anything over three may be too much. That's just my personal opinion. I stick to three on the weekends. I usually do two, but I think even if you do one, that's fine. Also just having that consistency to your look, using the same filter each time. I personally don't use a filter. I just edit my photos in Snapseed, and I just brighten them a little and sharpen them. But I always do pretty much the same editing and retouching so they're consistent, and using, you know, the marble for the most part. And I think it really is worth investing your time in Instagram because, like I said, I get the majority of my blog traffic through Instagram. So that's been huge for me. And I think being patient, like I started this in February of 2015 and, you know, I think it took me like a year to get to 1,000 followers. And I was so confused. I'm like, my food looks so good. I don't understand why people don't like it. And then I think once I hit 1,000, it just really started picking up. And I'm so glad I stuck with it. I was ready to quit at the time. I was like, I'm putting so much time and energy into this, and I just wasn't seeing the return. And now I do. And like I said, I think that you really have to communicate with other people on there and find your community and, you know, interact with them and comment on their photos with genuine comments. Like some people that, you know, I don't think you'll see yourself getting the comments back. But if you're genuinely always commenting on people's photos, I think they'll click to your profile, check it out, and, you know, comment back.
Yes. And that genuine is very important, especially in a time when there's so many spam accounts and just spam comments, mm-hmm. that it's really important.
Yes, definitely. And I still get comments that hurt my feelings sometimes. Like I posted a picture of a smoothie and it was like this brown color, and a few people commented that it looked like poop, and I was like, oh. And I think just kind of letting those things roll off your shoulders and not getting offended by those small comments, and I just don't respond to those usually.
Yes, and we definitely all get them. Maybe you don't see other people get them, but there's always one at least.
Yeah, it's just, you know, like staying, you're gonna eventually, if you get to this amount of followers, you're going to get some comments that you don't like. And I think it's just kind of being able to ignore those comments.
Yes. Yes. I think Rachel Mansfield told me once that she can't post pictures of eggs without getting really mean, mean comments.
That's so funny that you say that, because every time I post a picture of eggs, I joke with my husband. I'm like, let's count how many mean comments I get. So I still do it though. That's another thing, is I think you need to be genuine and true to who you are. So if I eat eggs, even if some people don't like it or think it's gross, if I don't post about it and I hide that, that's not like being real with people, you know?
Yes, yes.
So and I think if you want to follow me. And if you don't like that I eat eggs, you don't have to follow me.
100%. Absolutely. And I mean, it's not like a nasty Instagram comment is going to make you change your mind about eggs anyway, honestly.
Exactly.
So let's talk about when you really changed your thinking and wanted to turn your blog into a business. What was that shift, and how did you decide to really start considering yourself a business?
I guess since I'm a, you know, full-time stay-at-home mom, a lot of moms want to go into an office and have that too. I'm just somebody that I really want to be home with my children. I mean, I have one right now, but, you know, eventually hope to have two. So right now I'll be home with my child. And it's something that I was really able to do from home. It's cooking. I'm in the kitchen and writing blog posts. I don't have to go into an office. The only place I have to go is to Whole Foods, and I'm able to bring my daughter with me. So being a mom, it was just such a perfect thing. And it's, you have to, and I think you have to go into it not even thinking it's going to be your business. When I went into it, it truly was just like a hobby for me. And then I think around the time of the food summit, I was just really inspired by people that I was listening to. Seeing, I didn't even know you could make real money from it. And then seeing, wow, this could really be, you know, a business for me, and I love it. So why not kind of just dive into it and do it? And I think it was around that time that I decided I needed to hire a babysitter one day a week, because it wasn't fair to my daughter. I'd like put her on the kitchen floor and try to cook something, and she'd be crawling up my leg. And I'm like, you know, this isn't fair to her. And I think if I could just have a day that I'm just dedicated to making recipes and writing blog posts, and I could really do that, it'll be worth it for everyone. So, you know, I have like 2 days a week now that I just fully commit to the blog, and I'm making recipes, photographing them, writing the blog posts. And then, you know, after I put my daughter to bed, I spend 2 or 3 hours, again, like editing blog posts and going through emails. And it doesn't feel like work to me because I love it. So I'd rather be doing that than watching a TV show. So I think if it's something you really love, it'll never really feel like work.
I love that you said that. And I also want to just make it clear that you can make money off your blog if you don't have a ton of hours, as long as you are focused and you set aside that time. So I love that you took the step to hiring a babysitter and really got serious. But it's not like it has to take 40 to 50 to 60 hours a week to make an income.
No. And listen, I'm making, you know, a little bit of an income right now. And I always say to my husband, if I didn't have a child right now, I could make more. I could have 2 more blog posts a week. It's just I do what I can right now. Like if all I can get out is 2 blog posts a week, because I still want to spend a lot of time with my daughter and just make, you know, some side money from that. That's what it is. And then I say that one day when I have kids in school and I'm, you know, home alone, that's when I could put even more time into it. And maybe I want to do 4 blog posts a week. But still, just from doing the 2 a week, you definitely can see some income. So it's really what you put into it is what you'll get out of it. If I had 5 days a week to do, I would make more, but I'm still happy with being able to balance the two and having a child and getting to spend a lot of time with her and then also having this on the side.
Yes, definitely. And I'm curious, what actually made you sign up for the Food Summit? Like, what was that thing that put you over the edge?
I just didn't really know. I didn't even know that Pinterest was something that you could use for business. I was kind of clueless. And I said, if this is something I really want to do, then it seems like this summit could be really helpful. And I saw some of the speakers, and they were people that I've been reading their blogs for years. And they're just people that are so inspiring to me. And I'm like, if I could just hear their stories and how they got into this and how are they successful, it has to be able to help me, especially listening to Jessica from How Sweet Eats, How Sweet It Is. She was just, you know, so inspiring, and listening to her story, I was just like, you know, this hopefully could be me one day.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And what would you say? So would you say that was your favorite class or something else?
I'd say her class and also Rachel Mansfield's, because I was already really interested in Instagram at the time and it was growing. And I just looked up to her because hers was growing so fast. And I just really wanted to hear what she had to say as well about how she did it. And I think if you really like listen, even the videos though that I didn't think were relevant to me, like the brands on the brand side, how to grow, you know, a peanut butter company. I was like, how is this relevant to me? But then I listened to them and it's still so helpful just hearing how someone started, you know, from scratch and what they do, and even just little tips like how do they manage their time, you know. So every single course, even if I originally didn't think it was relevant, ended up being so relevant to me.
I love that. And I think the biggest thing is like, you don't have to do it alone, and there are support systems and there are groups. So like, take the time to learn about something and invest in yourself so you can make it a business and take yourself and your blog seriously.
Exactly. And with that, you know, just the people that I met, sometimes if I just have a quick question, you know, I could go into the group and say, you know, is anyone experiencing this with their blog or Instagram? Or I could just ask some questions. And also, I think you were the one that connected me to Katie Widrick.
Yes.
I would have never known about her if it wasn't, you know, for you. So I ended up getting a, you know, 1 hour consultation with her, and she really helped me with my blog. Like, I didn't even really know what plugins were for WordPress, and she taught me a lot. And my goal was that I want to be able to do a lot of stuff for myself, but I realized that I needed some help in that, and it was so worth it for me to pay a little bit of money for that 1 hour consultation. The outcome was so much greater than that. And she's someone that I still email like every week with a question. And I think that it's important to realize you can't do everything by yourself, and it's okay to ask people questions. And the time that I would have spent trying to figure out some things would have taken me maybe 10 hours, where I did it in that 1 hour call with Katie.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I know. She has been a lifesaver for me and so many other people, I'm sure, especially from the food summit. So and you don't have to do it alone. And it makes it so much harder to do it alone.
Yeah, exactly. And it's your time is so valuable. So it could take me 10 hours to figure something out where maybe I pay someone a little money. They do it in a half hour, and then I have my day to be like cooking and working on blog posts.
Yes, for sure. So where do you think Leah's plate will be at this time next year?
I hope that by next year, I'd maybe be posting one more time a week. I know that people say like page views aren't, you know, don't try to make that a big thing in your head. But of course, I think every blogger thinks about it. You want more page views. I work with a lot of brands on Instagram right now, creating recipes with their product or just, you know, including their product in a photo. And I really love working with brands that I genuinely eat and love. So I'd like to do that more on my blog. I usually just, you know, create my own recipes, and there's brands that I'm using for those recipes. So I want to start reaching out to them and saying, hey, I used your oatmeal in this, you know, do you want to sponsor this post? And just getting more interactions with brands on my blog.
I love that. And I so appreciate you being on and sharing your story. And I'm really excited that Katie and Jessica are coming back for this year's Food Summit and that you'll be there too. So thank you so much for being on. And lastly, just tell everyone where they can find you, your blog, your Instagram, and anywhere else you want to share.
Sure. Yeah. My Instagram is at Leah's Plate, LEAHS Plate, PLATE. And my blog is leahsplate.com. And I'd love if you checked it out.
Yay. Well, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. It was so fun talking to you.
You can find all information about Leah and Leah's Plate in our show notes at NicoleCulverBlog.com/podcast.
This has been Blissful Bites, a food entrepreneur podcast. Thanks for listening.